Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Friday, the 18th of November. Hello and welcome to DW's Africa Link program with me, Jane Ayeko Kumet in Bonn, Germany.
And I'm Jane Nyinge with what's trending on the social media today.
Coming up, activists are arrested as authorities in Zimbabwe block an anti-government protest.
They dumped me in a bush. When they dumped me, they stripped me of my clothes and they poured some liquid on my body. And I then had to crawl to the road where I was eventually helped.
Cameroonians optimistic as AFCON Women Football Tournament kicks off in Yaounde.
In fact, I'm very, very happy as any other Cameroonian to watch this African Nation Cup.
And I got hold of Maxence Melo, a blogger in Tanzania, and he will be telling us his experience for the last 14 years.
We'll be back shortly after hearing what has been happening from around the world.
I am Abubakar Jalo with DW News. At least 44 people died and more than 120 injured when an oil tanker exploded in a village close to Moatize in central Mozambique. 45 people were gravely injured, 15 children and 2 pregnant women. Speaking to DW, a witness who suffered burns to almost his entire body blamed the police.
The oil tank crashed on Wednesday. Police were siphoning off fuel in order to sell it to the people in Moatize. We were looking. Then I don't know exactly what happened. The police shot and there was a fire and we were being burned.
Outgoing U.S. President Barack Obama and European leaders have pledged to maintain NATO cooperation and vowed to keep up sanctions against Russia. Friday's meeting between Obama and the leaders of Britain, France, Germany, Italy and Spain is the first of its format since the election of Donald Trump. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel made this statement after the meeting.
We discussed Syria in detail, and above all, we said that the humanitarian situation in Aleppo must improve. We did not discuss in concrete terms sanctions against Russia with regard to this. We did discuss sanctions with regard to Ukraine. The American president and all of us reiterated that we stand by the Normandy format for close cooperation with the United States of Europe.
Leaders of the Pacific Rim of Nations began gathering in Peru on Friday to salvage hopes for the regional Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Pact. Discussions between the 21 members of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC Summit will be dominated by fears of rising anti-globalization sentiments in the West. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has picked Mike Pompeo, a Kansas congressman, to be the next director of the CIA. Pompeo is a conservative Republican and a fierce critic of Barack Obama's nuclear deal with Iran. Trump is also offering the post of Attorney General to Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, one of his closest and most consistent allies. A senior Trump official who was not authorized to speak publicly about the conversation didn't say whether Sessions had accepted the job, which left the possibility open that the arrangement was not finalized. Prime Minister Theresa May has assured her German counterpart Angela Merkel that preparations for Britain's exit from the European Union were on track. May said the legal process of leaving would be triggered by the end of March next year. A local authority in South Sudan's Yei River State has accused security forces of killing 11 people because of their ethnicity. This follows a UN warning that the country's civil conflict could escalate into genocide. More than 4,000 Turkish citizens have applied for asylum in Germany this year, according to the German government. The number is soaring since a failed coup attempt against Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Among them are several Turkish military officials stationed at the NATO air base in Ramstein. Relations between Berlin and Ankara have also been badly strained by concerns over Erdogan's government stance on civil rights. And for some sports news now, Bayern Munich winger Arjen Robben will miss the showdown at Borussia Dortmund on Saturday in one of the most anticipated Bundesliga matches. For more news, visit our website dw.com. I'm Abubakar Jalo in Bonn, DW News.
We start the program with Zimbabwe, where riot police crammed the streets of Harare to prevent anti-government protest. The planned demonstration was to protest plans by the government to print its own bond notes, which the government says will be equivalent to the US dollar, to tackle the country's severe cash shortage. As Privileged Mishani reports, some activists were arrested and beaten. Meanwhile, the EU has released a statement condemning the act.
The Friday demonstration, dubbed Munwese Mrodi, meaning everyone to the streets, He had been planned to protest against corruption and the impending introduction of bond notes. The protest, however, fell flat following the abduction of the organizers late Thursday. It emerged early Friday that more than three of the leaders had been abducted and had their vehicles burnt to ashes. Patson Dzamara, brother to Itai Dzamara, a rights activist who has been missing since March 2015, was later found severely assaulted and is now admitted in hospital. The other two are still missing. Here is Dzamara narrating his ordeal to me.
They drove with me for about 2 hours in the car. I don't know where they were taking me. Until they got to Snake Park and they dumped me in a bush. When they dumped me, they stripped me off my clothes and they poured some liquid on my body. And I then had to crawl to the road where I was eventually helped.
The introduction of the bond notes has unnerved Zimbabweans who still have memories of 2009 when the country reached world record inflation that hit 500 billion percent and wiped out savings.
It's something which is scary to us Zimbabweans, considering 2008 when we ended up working with bags of money. So this is more like introducing Zimdula to us, so we're scared.
I personally think the government is taking us for a ride because they are determining the type of money that you are going to use. Bond notes are not a currency. You cannot go and buy anything from outside Zimbabwe because you have bond notes.
The central bank says bond notes are primarily an incentive for exporters who may help bring the much-needed hard currency to ease crippling cash shortages. But this has stoked concerns it could open the door to rampant printing of cash as happened in 2008.
Privilege Mshandri in Harare.
Now, Jen, what's interesting about this particular story is that it has created a lot of discussion on social media platforms, not only in Zimbabwe, but other parts of the world.
Certainly. I know that Zimbabwe and the mention of President Mugabe always gets lots of clicks. So what's the debate like?
From our Facebook page, DW Africa, Isaac Godwin, who is in Liberia, says, "I think Zimbabwe needs another strategy to save the economy. President Mugabe also needs to allow someone else to take up leadership. He has overstayed in power."
Well, overstayed or not overstayed is not something for us to discuss. I guess President Mugabe himself knows whether it's long or not.
Absolutely. But also, Jane, I think power is sweet. That is why you'll find most African leaders using all means, even if it is changing the constitution, to ensure they don't get out of office.
Leadership is something interesting, and it's a big topic that we can't discuss now because, you know, others prefer to stay longer, others prefer to live just within their constitutional term limit, and that's what President Barack Obama just did as he concluded his European tour with a meeting with the EU heads of state, agreeing on the need to secure a diplomatic resolution to the conflicts in Syria and eastern Ukraine. Thereafter, President Obama headed to Peru to attend the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Leaders Meeting. DW's Inside Europe, Lencini reports.
This was the last meeting of its kind for President Obama, an opportunity to reassure the leaders of Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and the UK after the shock victory of Donald Trump in the US elections. Throughout his four-day visit, Obama has emphasized that core US priorities would continue under his successor. And today he urged European leaders to keep seeking solutions to common challenges on the basis of shared values. According to a statement issued by the White House, the six parties agreed on the need to keep working together as part of multilateral bodies like NATO and to press ahead with the transatlantic agenda. That means trying to bring stability to the Middle East and North Africa, as well as a settlement to the conflicts in Syria and Ukraine. Obama has been keen to emphasize the importance of transatlantic ties. But as Air Force One now makes its way from Berlin to South America, many European leaders remain unsettled by Donald Trump's isolationist and protectionist opinions. And there are growing concerns that populism is also gaining ground in challenging democratic values here in Europe.
Helen Seni reporting. Now, intense football action kicks off tomorrow in Cameroon, with Cameroonian national squad clashing against Egypt in the opening match of the 2016 African Women Football Cup of Nations. Eight participating countries, including Ghana, Kenya and Mali, will be battling to seize the trophy from Nigeria. Moki Kinseka has been finding out people's expectations on the tournament.
After waiting for long, anxiously waiting.
The 2016 Africa Women Football Cup of Nations anthem blasts through speakers in major junctions of Cameroon's capital Yaoundé as the country gets set to host the continental tournament. Debates are on which team will carry the day. Nigerian-born Obi Paul says he is sure his country will keep the trophy.
We are going to give them moral support, even financial support, to see that they maintain their trophy back home.
But Birka Paul does not agree. He thinks his host country, Cameroon, will turn the tables and lift the cup.
In fact, I'm very, very happy as any other Cameroonian to watch this African Nation Cup.
Besides the supporters, officials and players of the participating countries say they are not on a tourism trip, but want to give their best in the tournament. Ellis Desire is head coach of the South African team.
I think any coach coming to the tournament would want to win it. It'd be silly to come here and not want to win it. You go to a match, not to draw, to lose, but you go to win it.
Cameroon plays against Egypt tomorrow in the opening match. Sahare El Hawari, head coach for Egypt, says she expects a tough game.
If you're playing with the host, it's a lot of pressure because of the spectators and the homeland and the media and the people and the response. You know, it's not easy.
Eight participating teams, Cameroon, Nigeria, Egypt, Mali, South Africa, Kenya, Zimbabwe and Ghana, will be vying for the 2016 Africa Women Football Cup of Nations.
Crispin Mwakdeo presenting that report by Moki Kinseka and Jen. And what are the people saying about this tournament?
There is nothing much happening on the social media about this tournament. Personally, I feel like women's sports generally are never taken seriously.
I tend to disagree with you on that one, Jen, because I think we are really picking up on a hard note, and I bet you watch what is going to happen starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it's true, but when you look at Africans, they love football. It's true, they love football, but it's men football. But anyway, when I look at the tweets, Florence Fatma says, I hope Super Falcons from my country, Nigeria, will take the cup home. Another tweet is from Kenya, and it's from Claudia Ekai, and she says, I'm happy, even without proper structures, Kenyan team qualified for the tournament.
Certainly, Kenyan team qualified for the tournament. But you know that Kenya is only participating for the very first time. We have Nigerians coming in there, and I guess they are going to be giving some of the players a hard time.
Absolutely.
It's very interesting to hear that. But Jen, tell me, what experience do you have playing football anyway?
I don't know. I don't have much experience about football.
Haven't you played a little bit of girls' football when you were a young girl? Didn't you play?
No, I did tennis, table tennis.
Table tennis.
Yeah.
I think we should start.
That was my favorite.
No wonder you did not participate in Africa Link Cup. I guess we should be getting a little longer on that one, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that women, African women, are really having a good rush. They are getting onto football. And like we just heard that story by Moki, people are excited. I mean, people are really expecting that there's going to be lots of fun. And I also heard from behind, you know, from a little bit of grapevine information that Cameroonians are even trying to revive their cultural behavior, behaving very well, you know.
But, you know, Jane, even if maybe Cameroon thinks maybe they're in a better position to go with the cup, I don't think so. Because when you look at the history of the tournament, Nigeria seems to be in a better place.
Well, it's either Nigeria or Cameroon. It still remains within West Africa.
And also, let me ask you, where is Uganda in all
don't
this?
Don't you worry. We are represented by Kenya. We are an East African team over there. So we should not be saying Nigeria is bigger. We should be saying East Africa, we are taking the cup.
That's true.
I think we are doing well. And I bet you this next year, I'm going to be the lead person in Africa Link team. Well, Jen, let's leave it at that. And we continue. We take a break and then we'll come back. We'll discuss a little bit more on what's happening on social media. This is DW Africa Link coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. Still to come, all the hashtags and comments from around the world that Jen will be presenting a little later. Stay tuned. But first, we go to Mali, which is going to polls this weekend. And this time round, they are not going to be voting for a president, but rather local government. But once again, many parts in Mali lack the conditions to conduct an election. For instance, a bigger part of the northern region lacks state control, and new attacks have been reported from the center of the country. Bram Posthumus reports about how Malians are using music to send a message to the politicians.
Mali's foremost rap artist, Milmo N. Sahel, pulls no punches. In this, his latest clip, he bluntly asks whether Mali made the right choice 4 years ago. In 2012, Ibrahim Boubacar Keita was elected president. But what prevails today and what will certainly dominate this weekend's local elections is disappointment. Especially worrying is the spread of armed violence from the north to regions that were previously unaffected. Fresh attacks happened frequently. The Mopti area, some 600 kilometers east of the capital, Bamako, has been hit. And the very latest attack occurred just 150 kilometers north of the Malian capital. Nobody seems to be able to stop the violence. That's festival director Mani Ansar during a recent conference at the World Music Expo in Spain. His festival in the desert was attacked by jihadists in 2012, and he had to abandon it. Today, he traverses the world with a new project, the Caravan for Peace. Musicians in Mali consider it their duty to comment on what's going on in society. And this summer they will bring their message of peace and reconciliation to other parts of the world. The Caravan of Peace will be based in Amsterdam and travel through most of the European continent. Next Sunday's local elections will not solve any of Mali's problems. But they will surely indicate the choices Malians plan to make when the next presidential election comes around in 2 years' time. Throughout the centuries, Mali's rulers have known this. Musicians tell you what society thinks of you. Ignore them at your peril.
Bram Posthumus in Mali telling us about Malians going to polls once again.
And I'm sure someone must be blogging somewhere about that subject.
Sure, we'll get back to blogging a little later.
Blog report.
Talking about bloggers, in Tanzania, Jami Media is one of the biggest blogs with over 360,000 registered members, 1.8 million Facebook followers, over 300 on Twitter, 660,000 on Instagram. I just can't name it all. Now, Jen, you caught up with Maxence Melo, who is the brain behind Jami Media. What did you ask him?
Well, I wanted to know from him, how has he managed to get such a big following? And this is what he had to say.
We started doing what we are doing in 2002, and then we gained the popularity in the country by 2008. In year 2010, the internet growth in Tanzania sparked because of the introduction of the fiber optic. So it changed the game, and as we speak, we have about 20 million internet users in the country. And we are the only trusted online social network that people do rely on stories that are posted on Jamii forums.
And why did you come up with this idea of blogging?
When we started in year 2002, there was a it wasn't easy to access information in the country, and people wanted to know more. They didn't rely on papers because they thought like papers were owned by the state, and some of the papers were owned by the politicians. We thought of having something that could allow people to tell their stories. We started by telling them stories. We came to realize that people wanted to tell their own stories. That's why we came up with an idea of changing from blogging ourselves, allowing the people, the citizens themselves to blog. By 2006, corruption was rampant in Tanzania. So we decided to label ourselves like we are anti-corruption platform, and whomever is trying to fight corruption should join the movement. So it was looking like an anti-corruption movement, Jambo Forums. By then, it was called Jambo Forums.
Melo, when I look at your blog, you'll find all kind of stuff, starting from entertainment, news, sports. So where do you get all this information?
We have employed journalists. We have 24 journalists who are specialized in health, education, agriculture, and water. But as it stands, for the past 10 years, 14 years, the citizens themselves, they are the ones who are bringing the content. But we have content quality controllers. We have 26 of them who are controlling whatever is being posted on the platform. That's why people do trust whatever is being posted on the platform, because they know that we have the mechanism of going through the content and making sure that they are abide the rules of the game.
How is it being a blogger in Tanzania in terms of press freedom?
We recently had, last year, a cybercrime law which infringes the freedom of expression online. I personally petitioned this law at the High Court. There were six preliminary objections which were raised by the government. We won against all those six preliminary objections. We have a case at the High Court. We want the court to scrap some sections of this cybercrime law. But as it stands, before we get the ruling, the judgment of this case, it's not easy for a blogger to challenge the government. We got at least 13 letters from the police demanding for private data of our clients. Then we decided to petition this law before it infringes the freedom of expression of our users who were trying to challenge the government on certain issues.
Maxence Melo of Jamii Media.
You know, Jen, through Max's Melo interview, I was able to understand indeed patience pays. Look, he started this blog 14 years ago, but it is only recently he started getting the fruits of his work.
Good that you learned something there. Let's now catch up with some sports. And Jaffa Latifa is already here. Now, Latifa, seeing you here and me seated here talking about football makes me feel like, oh, my God, women, we are really breaking stereotypes, because some time ago, football was a thing of men. But these days, women, we are just here, African women, talking about football and the football tournament that is kicking off tomorrow in Cameroon versus Egypt. We are already, as we already heard from the Cameroonian story, fans are already expecting so much. How do you think this game will end?
The game is going to be like a tough game, because each team will try to defend itself. Like Cameroon will definitely try to say, let me make my country proud and defend myself as a host. And also Egypt will also say, let me give them surprise. By the way, Egypt is attending the tournament second time, and then Cameroon is attended it 11th time. And then Egypt has a record of kicking out from the group stage without going to second round, like at the first round, while Cameroon has the record of reaching up to semifinals and quarterfinals. So nobody will say, but I know all the teams will try their best to defend themselves.
So this is something to wait for. Wait to be surprised.
But yes.
Listen, Latifa, you are from Nigeria, and we certainly know that the Super Falcons are one of Africa's best performing female teams. Now, what do you think? Do they have any chances of taking the cup back home?
Of course, yes, they have a lot of chances taking back the cup home, because they have the record of taking this cup times 10. And then they are attending the tournament 12th time. And then, not talking only about Africa, in the world at large, Nigerian Super Falcons are a great team. And then they are really making Nigerians proud, because they are always good. They even have the advantage of finding themselves in, like I can say, they are the strongest team in the group they find themselves, because they are playing with Kenya, Mali. Kenya appeared in this tournament for the first time, and then Mali sixth time. I think Nigeria have the great chance of winning this Cup.
Some good advantages for home team there. I wish you all the best. Now, female and football in Africa, I think this is really growing faster than I expected. What do you think?
Yes, of course. It is really growing faster. And then even though they have a lot to do comparing to other parts of the world like Europe.
Well, so much about women and football back home in Africa. Well, let's come back to Germany and talk about Bundesliga, which is kicking off tomorrow again. And this time on a very, very bigger note. I mean, Dortmund versus Bayern. This is a game that everybody is waiting for. What do you think?
Yes, really, it is a very tough game. A lot of people are waiting for this game. Even I myself, I wish I will be in Dortmund towards this game, because playing between Bayern and Dortmund is a really big game in Bundesliga. It's like the focus of how the Bundesliga will end. Mm-hmm. Because even though Dortmund had the record of winning against Bayern, but Bayern had the record of always being the first team in Bundesliga. They are always the first team. So they are going to, each team will try to defend itself to see like, I'm the one who win the game.
That's right. And you know, one interesting thing is that from the Dortmund side, we have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang there and Bayern's Lewandowski in action, full action tomorrow. These are the two players that have been, you know, they are seen as the top scorers of the Bundesliga. And everybody is really watching out and waiting to see who is going to take the day, in your opinion.
One funny thing is like Lewandowski was also a player of Dortmund before he changed to Bayern. So to me, in my own opinion, I think Aubameyang will be the player of the game because he has the record of the scoring most goals in this Bundesliga tournament. Even though Lewandowski will try his best to see that he did well, also Aubameyang will not be like reluctant.
Latifa, we have a lot to keep us going and to keep us entertained this weekend, but we have to leave it at that because Jen Nyingi is itching to update us on what is happening on social media. Jen.
Yeah, we'll go back to Zimbabwe story because that seems to be a very huge one on social media. And we've got lots of reactions.
What is huge about it, Jen?
There is a statement that has been issued by EU delegation currently in Harare and says they are concerned by the current situation of intimidation, abduction and even torture of those against the government.
But Jen, is it the first time that this is happening? Why is EU coming up at this moment? What do you think?
I don't know. They are just there on their own mission to assess the situation. And this happened. And I think the reaction is due to the abduction of these guys who are planning today's protest.
So they are basically condemning, but they're not telling us whether they are taking action or not.
No. In fact, in the statement, they go on saying they appeal to the competent authorities to conduct thorough investigations of those incidents.
Anyway, just give me an insight into what people are saying. What are some of the comments? You just say there are quite lots of them coming.
That's true. Samira Solani says, when the country is battling with economic problems, ruling party ZANU-PF is going to spend a whopping $4 million on a week-long conference. That is next month. And Patson Zamara wrote on his Twitter page that, please get this. We can't cheat our way to revolution in Zimbabwe. It will come at a cost of tears, sweat, and even blood.
What does he mean? What do you think he means? He's trying to imply with this kind of statement. I mean, sweat, I mean, blood. Do we still want bloodshed?
No, we don't need blood, but I think he meant we have to struggle. When you want to get something good, you have to struggle for it. Nothing comes easily.
Nothing comes easily. But what I also find interesting is that President Mugabe doesn't seem to be liked in his own country. But elsewhere in Africa, there are quite many people who like him.
Really?
That's what I seem to know.
I don't think so. Maybe he's a teacher of some guys. That is why maybe they'll like him more, most probably.
You won't tell me Kenyans don't find him funny? They don't like him?
No comment.
Well, I always hear very many people saying that is our true African there. They like him and they find him interesting. Well, Jen, we don't have much time. I think we're going to have to leave it at that. But before we leave, let's have a reminder of some of the top stories today. Now, the European Union has condemned the arrest of activists in Zimbabwe, as we just had Jen telling us, where police thwarted a planned protest against government plan to introduce bond notes. And Cameroonians are also warming up there for African women Schumann tournament starting tomorrow. And President Obama just left Germany after a four-day tour of Europe as the President of the United States. For more news, visit our website dw.com/Africa.
And you can also listen the whole program on our Facebook page, DW Africa. I'm Jane Nyinge.